From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. State Senator Rick Bennett announced today that he's unenrolling from the Republican Party and running for governor as an independent. As Steve Missler reports, his decision broadens an already large field of candidates and could shake up the race for the Democratic and Republican nominees next year.
Bennett's announcement ends years of speculation about whether he would run to replace Governor Janet Mills, who was barred from seeking a third consecutive term. Bennett previously served as Senate president between 2001 and 2002, and later as chair of the Maine Republican Party. But his return to the legislature 5 years ago has been marked by his support for issues that have bucked the GOP orthodoxy on climate change, energy, and money in politics. At his campaign kickoff in South Paris, Bennett highlighted the disillusionment with the dominant political parties.
The hateful rhetoric, the divisiveness, the constant effort to pit neighbor against neighbor, that is not who we are in Maine, and it is not who we should ever be as a country.
Bennett joins a field of more than a dozen candidates that's likely to grow in the coming months. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
With an extreme heat warning in effect and temperatures pushing 100 degrees by mid-afternoon, some parents in the Portland area brought their kids to a splash pad in Deering Oaks Park to cool off. 6-year-old Isla McGacken is visiting Maine from Ohio with her family.
We have been playing in the water and seeing how deep the water can get.
How deep did the water get?
Just like a little more deeper than I thought it would.
In Biddeford, the nonprofit Seeds of Hope extended its hours today because of the oppressive heat. Executive Director Vassie Fowler says more than 100 people have come through the facility.
We do have a fair amount of what I would consider an older population that, you know, it's quite alarming that they might not have a place to get out of the weather. The heat and the sun.
Fowler says the upstairs sleeping quarters are beyond capacity due to the York County shelter closing this past spring. And in neighboring Saco, hundreds of kids at the summer camp at the community center got to keep cool with a new splash pad that opened in May. Rec Director Ryan Summer says the Biddeford Rotary Club raised the funds and local businesses did the plumbing, electrical, and site work to keep the cost to taxpayers low.
This facility is open 7 days a week. From 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have public bathrooms in our community center with the water, and we have some shade with the trees, and it really is a wonderful place to bring family and kids and grandkids and grandparents and all that.
Summer says splash pads don't need a lifeguard, and the water is recirculated to keep the water bills down. Temperatures are expected to cool off a bit on Wednesday. Reproductive care providers in Maine are warning of reduced access to health care should state and federal funding cuts be finalized. Advocates raise concerns about cuts to a bill to fund family planning services other than abortion and propose Medicaid funding cuts and restrictions. Planned Parenthood of Northern New England CEO Nicole Clegg says if the federal budget is signed into law as is today, 30% of their patients insured by Medicaid could no longer be served.
We are being squeezed in every way possible by the federal government and Republicans in Congress to really eliminate our ability to provide care.
Clegg and Maine Family Planning CEO George Hill both warned that even with full funding at the state level, the expected cuts to Medicaid would limit their services. The city of Portland has approved a $367 million operating budget for the next fiscal year. That's despite ongoing uncertainty about assistance that it might receive from the state. City officials estimate that Portland will lose about $13 million in state and federal funding. State lawmakers recently agreed to provide about $4 million in general assistance funds to municipalities around Maine for the next 2 years. But Mayor Mark Dion says the city is still waiting to hear how much Portland will receive.
I've heard numbers tossed about, but I haven't received any definitive communication
that falls on a number. It's less than we hoped.
The budget will increase Portland's overall tax rate by just more than 7% and draw nearly $9 million from the city's rainy day fund. The city will not know the final property tax rates until later this summer when assessors finish the revaluation process. State lawmakers will return to Augusta tomorrow to deal with dozens of additional bills and a handful of vetoes from Governor Janet Mills. Kevin Miller reports.
Lawmakers have finished most of their work for the year, but on Tuesday, the Budget Writing Committee voted to fund more than 80 bills that received preliminary approval but were in legislative limbo because they could cost money to implement. The House and Senate will vote on those bills on Wednesday, as well as five vetoes from Governor Mills. Mills vetoed a bill that would have prohibited the state from using eminent domain to take tribal lands. She also rejected bills involving recovery houses, the Maine State Ferry Advisory Board, and who is entitled to representation by the state's public defender program. Mills also vetoed a bill that aimed to protect farm workers who discuss wages, working conditions, and other employment issues. Lawmakers will likely have to return at least once more to deal with any additional vetoes. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
More than 38,000 adult Mainers with disabilities are enrolled in MaineCare, the state version of Medicaid. And they rely on the program not just for medical care, it also funds programs that allow them to live in the community. But disability rights advocates say the future of these programs is at risk if Congress slashes funding to Medicaid as proposed under the pending budget bill. Patty White reports.
It's opening night for a new show at Spindleworks Arts Center in Brunswick, which serves people with intellectual disabilities and autism. And the artists here are eager to show their work.
Sure!
Anna McDougall is especially proud of one of her paintings, which reflects the theme of the show, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
It's about disability rights and diversity.
McDougall has painted a portrait of her role model, Judith Heumann, an activist often referred to as the mother of the disability rights movement. McDougall has been coming to Spindleworks for more than 20 years. Growing up, she says, she didn't have much of a community, but she's found it here.
We just want to be included. That's what inclusion is to be accepted and be with people without disabilities.
Really, we use art as a connection to connect people to the community and to help them express themselves and be represented as artists.
Brian Braley is senior manager of Spindleworks, which supports 60 artists between this location and another in Gardner. It's funded by Medicaid.
I think what people don't realize is that Medicaid really does fund a whole host of services, not just medical needs. And, it's the only access that many of the people we have to the community.
Spindleworks is run by the Independence Association, which also provides home support services for roughly 350 people. Executive Director Brett Ballmer says all of their programs are funded by Medicaid. That's why he's worried about the congressional budget bill, which would slash Medicaid funding by hundreds of billions of dollars.
I will say it's making us nervous. It's making us very nervous. This could have a drastic impact on our services. It scares me to think about what that might look like.
Laura Cordes, executive director of the Maine Association for Community Service Providers, is clear about what that would look like.
We can't deliver services. We can't support a workforce without Medicaid or MaineCare reimbursements.
The association represents nearly 100 organizations that support people with intellectual disabilities, autism, and brain injuries. Services range from skill building, like how to prepare a meal or get ready for a job interview, to residential support. And while these programs aren't specifically targeted in the budget bill, Cordes says they would be affected by funding cuts.
Any reduction in Medicaid funding to the states, even if not specifically directed at community-based disability services, will diminish the resources that each state receives and will force states to reduce their Medicaid spending.
Which will further stress a system that's already fragile, says Cordes. The organizations she represents serve 6,000 adults, but 2,000 more individuals are on waiting lists.
When Medicaid is threatened, the very existence of people with disabilities is threatened.
Kim Moody is executive director of Disability Rights Maine. She says Medicaid is the foundation that allows people with disabilities to meaningfully participate in society.
So I would say that is probably the most frightening aspect of this bill, that it really looks to us, to disability advocates, that it's possible that with passage of this bill, people with disabilities will be moving back toward institutions.
Spindleworks, the art program in Brunswick, was actually born out of the deinstitutionalization movement in the 1970s, says Brian Braley.
When people see the art first, the disability kind of disappears. So I feel like that's why we've been so successful, is people are able to see people for what they're capable of.
At the Spindleworks show opening, Sophie Jacobs and other artists say that they're worried they could lose supports because of what happens in Congress. Jacobs says she comes here every day to meet people and to create art that might make a difference.
It's a good way to show, like, what we do to the world, to see if it changes what they decide to do.
The congressional budget bill is now before the Senate. In a written statement, Republican Senator Susan Collins says that she's committed to protecting access to Medicaid and the services it provides for people with disabilities. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, what comes after high school for Maine's rural students? I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.